Thank you for joining us. You found us on a Thursday evening, and I say to you, welcome to Caching in the Northwest. Did you know this is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest? We're going to talk about cachers and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're trying to find your social media security settings, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
That's right. And that means it's time. Well, it's time for just the two of us tonight because, well, Land Monkey is off visiting family. And so in the spirit of opening day, I say play ball.
Oh, play ball. Did you see that easy pitch I threw you there in the opening?
Yeah. Yeah. Caught that one.
Thanks. Hey, just a quick reminder that we appreciate the support of our patrons who help keep this us podcasting here each and every week, even if we can't say it well. If you want to know more about supporting the show, click on the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. Now, this week we are talking about organizing your caching gear. So share your thoughts in the chat about what you do to keep your caching gear organized, neat, clean, whatever you want to say about it.
Tell us what you do, because, well, Land Monkey's not here. And we all know that of the three of us, he's probably the most organized. So we'll carry on without him. But first, we'll do what we always do, and we'll read the glow. Geocaching log of the week. And thanks to all of you for sending in glows. We could always use more. This week's glow is from... it was contributed by Alpine's GC. Is that correct? Did I read that right?
Exactly.
And the log that they submitted was by Graphinator for a geocache called an average cache in the park. That's GLV943A8, which sounds a lot like a Canadian postal code, if you ask me. All right. So the log reads, one of those caches when you know where and what you're looking for, but also aware that it will take meticulous searching and patience. The previous cache finder noted his or her time to find the cache. Challenge accepted. Okay, 0 seconds. Start my timer when upon arrival at coordinates and begin searching. 25 seconds. Dog with owner. I deftly finger the limb of a deceased cedar with an exaggerated expression of concern. 55 seconds. All right. They've passed out of sight. Resume search. Minute 45. Hey, what's that? Distracted by a shiny Munzee nearby. Scan it, then redoubled search efforts for the cache. 2 minutes 50. Dog and owner. Pretend to talk on my cell phone while her dog takes a dump. Really wishing I wasn't downwind right now. What? Owner walks away without cleaning up the steaming pile. 4 minutes 15. Resume search while conducting a mental debate on whether or not it is my social responsibility to remind that canine owner to clean up after her pooch. Decided it is unlikely she would accept some guy lurking in the bushes with his cell phone to be a legitimate member of the poop police. 5 minutes 5. Jogger! With no other quick excuse available for why I'm standing between shrubs just off the trail, I casually drop my phone in the grass. Then take my time picking it up while the jogger rubbernecks my strange behavior on his way past. 5 minutes 25. Glad he was fast. Back to clawing through cedars. 6 minutes-ish. Finally found the predicated cache in the predicted location. Maybe that's supposed to be predicted. Right where I wish I'd looked in the first minute and most probably did. Glad this one is over and another smiley on the map. Back to the Geomobile, just a little jealous of the previous cache who claimed to have made the find in 2 minutes.
Claimed. That's claimed. All we can say. He claimed to make the find, or she.
There you go.
So, as we said earlier, and thank you. By the way, Green Words sent out a tweet saying that the city of Edmonds has an entire festival dedicated to GLOW. It's the GLOW Festival.
Wow.
It was a week or so ago. In Edmonds. And I thought that was really nice of them.
They really like good logs up there.
Yeah, exactly. And it was all capitalized like a GLOW should be because,
well, of course,
acronym and all.
Sure.
Yeah. So there you go. City of Edmonds, thank you for pushing good geocaching logs. Now, as we said, we're going to talk about keeping your caching gear organized. This could be at home, on the road, and on the trail.
Sure. Could. If I was organized, I could do it home and trail and car and work and every place else.
What about on the way home to the trail from your car?
Oh, yeah, that could work. Mm-hmm. You know, I think all of us, I speak, of course, just for myself, but I think all of us would like to be more organized than we really are. I know there's some people out there that fall off the other end of the spectrum, but I have great desires to be organized, and I'm not nearly as organized as I would like to be, but I make efforts.
You do make an effort. You know, some of us have bins and shelves and, you know, even whole sheds to keep caching gear. You know, personally, I tend to keep mine in the backpack. When I come back from a caching trip, I want to take everything out, change batteries if I need to, you know, make sure that if I've used things up that I try to put them back. But that's, you know, I try to put them back in the bag because if they're out and about, I'll never find them again. Or, you know, find them or not find them when I need them.
Yeah. Bags are the, to me, that's the big thing. I'm kind of a bag hound. I can never find the perfect camera bag for my camera gear, the backpack for the daily, everyday carry bag, the bug out bags. I like bags. And I, every time I think I found the perfect one and move into it, get all settled. And then I, oh, wait, new bag. It's a shiny. My current bag is probably overstuffed and over heavy for most people. People pick it up and say, what on earth do you have in there? But I do carry it nearly every day because almost every time I think, I don't think I need to take that today. I'll just go without it. I need something that was in it. I could carry it for 2 weeks and never use anything in it. But
the day,
the one day I don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, go ahead.
I'll tell you, if I've forgotten something on the trail, I know I can turn to you and say, hey, do you have an SD card?
I've done that.
Yeah.
So
in your backpack. And you can watch him mentally go through the individual pockets and say, yes, right here.
Inside my bag, I have more bags. This little Maxpedition pouch is really great. It sits in here. It's got straps on it. I've got tools and whatnot in there.
Nice.
We don't need to go through all that stuff. I use this for work as well. So it's kind of a multi, this is not just my caching gear, although almost anything can be caching gear in a pinch, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the inception of caching bags.
Oh yeah.
A bag within a bag.
Because I'm talking away from the mic, which is not going to help our audio listeners, but inside the bag, there's also more bags. So this is a great little set of three different size zipper pouches that I got just at Home Depot. There are nicer ones out there, but these are inexpensive. And so that made them very popular with me. And yeah, all that good stuff. And I even have been known to carry one of those. Just don't tell anybody.
What is that?
You know, it's, yeah.
People in the Northwest don't understand what that is.
I know, but every now and then you need one.
Okay. For our audio listeners, he held up an umbrella.
A paraguas.
Huh?
A bumper chute. Yeah.
All right, then. Oh, let's see. Ergo, rain, stop.
Yes, there you go. Something like that.
Something like that. Okay.
So, yeah, pretty much that's, I keep everything in this bag, including, I think I even have, oh, let me check. You talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. Well, isn't that low? Oh, I have my caching bag right here. Now, mine's a bit smaller, and I purposely got a smaller, more day pack style bag. It is a hydration pack. Not going to use a proper name because it's not one of those proper names of a I can't come up with the name of a what genus does the camel belong to? Dromedary? Mm. Dromedary?
Dromedary is a type.
Dromedary. Yeah, that's it. So I've got two, I think, maybe 3 liter hydration pack in here. And my good buddy Wits End showed me the best way to fill the hydration pack is just before you go, you fill it with ice and then as much water as it can hold. And it keeps that water cold all day long and cools your back on those long, warm hikes.
That can be good.
Yeah. I keep Discover Pass.
Oh, that's a good thing to keep in there.
I can't come up with words today. The Northwest Forest Service Pass and a Parks Canada Pass in there. Along with, you know, various caching gear, batteries and pencils and logs and such. But we'll get to that in a little bit later. Now, yours is a hydration pack as well, correct?
It is, yes. Mine is, the brand is a Geiger rig, which is
really nice.
It has, its hydration bladder has two chambers, one for air and one for water. So you pump, there's a small hand pump that you pressurize the air bladder. Then you can just squeeze the mouthpiece and the water squirts right in your mouth. You don't have to bust a lung trying to get it out of a... one of their slogans is, you'll never suck again. I've misquoted them, but their packs you won't suck their packs, right?
That's right. Now, there is a real advantage to that, where you can pump up the air bladder, and if you need to share water, you can squirt it into somebody else's mouth rather than, you know, getting their lips on the valve.
Yeah, so that's huge. You can fill water bottles with it. You can rinse off hands. It really, really, really nice. And the bladder is amazingly strong. If you go and watch their YouTube videos on their channel, they point them, they inflate them well beyond normal pressure levels to the point of destruction. Wow. Which is entertaining and educational.
So you should be fine. And you could use it as a flotation device should you fall into the river.
Yeah.
Like your, you know, seat back cushion. One other thing I always carry in my bag, and I don't always use it, but if I have it, I'm thankful for it. And this is a dry bag for a cell phone.
Oh yeah.
You know, I've told people before, I love Monoprice. Monoprice is one of my go-to suppliers. And, it's a Ziploc, but it's a sturdy one. It's got three zippers on it, and then you fold over and snap it closed.
Mm-hmm.
So, now with the huge phones they have nowadays, only two of the three zippers were seal.
Yeah.
But still, that's enough to keep out the majority of rain, you know, any debris you may pick up on the trail. It's better than nothing, right? Worst case scenario is you throw away your peanut butter and jelly sandwich and put your phone into the Ziploc baggie.
Yeah, the Ziploc bags are far easier to come by, but they only have one zipper and the plastic's kind of thin. Those pouches like you've got are a lot thicker, a lot heavier. Mm-hmm. And with the zipper fold, zipper snap, they're really well sealed. I put my device in that when we were in Hawaii the last time, there was a small island off the shore that you could wade to, although the water wound up being kind of chest deep and you kind of floated across and bobbed along. And I took my device over there because there's a geocache on that island. Of course there was. And, but I have one of those in my bag. I also at the bottom have just a couple of regular old plain Ziploc bags because you just never know. They come in handy. And yeah. I also have one of these little Ziploc bags that it contains a geocache repair kit. So look at that. Ooh.
Is that an official geocache repair kit?
I believe it is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, see?
Dr. B's.
That's a good thing to keep in there, too.
We're going to get to that. Well, we've already gotten to that.
Yeah.
So do you carry logs? Do you carry replacement containers, pencils?
Like throwdowns?
Yeah, exactly. No. We're not going to go that
way. Not going to go there. I used to, And I wound up carrying them for years and years and never used them.
Mm-hmm. Do you carry logs?
Well, not specifically logs, but here I go talking away from the microphone again.
Yes, thank you.
One of these that I podcasted before. Got a Write in the Rain notebook that I keep with me all the time because you can always make a new log sheet out of some Write in the Rain paper. And really, all geocache logs, at least in the Northwest, should be on Write in the Rain paper.
Yeah.
This is not an endorsement of their product. They're not a sponsor of the podcast.
Yeah.
But they should be.
They should be. One of my caching buddies, Norman DeCat, he calls himself a log snob. Those are the words he uses.
Okay.
And he's bought Write in the Rain inkjet printer paper.
Ah.
So he prints up, you know, logs of different sizes, like an entire page of nano logs, an entire page of film canister sized, and, you know, cuts them up. And he handed me a bunch at one time. I mean, we're talking a stack almost an inch thick. And so I still have those. And I keep some in my car. I keep some in the glove box of my car, which makes absolutely no sense because you're out, you've gone to the cache. That's when you realize, oh, I should have brought a log sheet. Oops, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
And am I going to go back to the car, get a log sheet and walk back? Of course not. Nobody does that. Okay. Somebody in the chat better say they do that. but I put a couple in my backpack, and the other little thing to help keep me organized is my trusty hat. Which doesn't fit really well over headphones.
Well, you often don't hit the trail wearing your podcasting headphones, so I think that's okay.
This is a Tilly hat. I'm sure you've heard me talk about it. Maybe you've seen it a time or two. But in the top of the Tilly hat, here, this is going to be great audio.
Oh, yeah.
Is a Velcro pocket. And in that Velcro pocket, I have cache logs. I'm not going to get them out because they've slid up underneath and it's going to be tougher than I thought it would be. I keep cache logs in there because if I'm out with my hat, then I can pull out a cache log and replace it if I need it.
Good call.
I don't know. It's just something that I do.
That's good.
Wet Coaster agrees that they're the best hats in the world.
They're very nice. I've eyed them several times at some of the outdoor stores around the area and thought about getting one. I have a similar hat. It's a different brand, but I've had it for probably over 10 years.
I want to say it's an Australian hat, is it not?
It is Monterey Bay, I think, brand, something like that. Okay. But it's a great hat in the summer because it has open mesh sides and the rest of the material is designed to be dunked in water and wrung out. Mm-hmm. It becomes like a swamp cooler on your head. Not so helpful in the rain and snow, but I have a different hat for rain and snow. There you go. But this is not a hat show. This is an organization show.
But now you keep bags within your bags.
Yeah.
To help keep you organized so that you can pull out one pack and it may have what in there?
Different stuff.
Oh, yeah. Rather than rooting through the whole bottom of your bag. Now, yeah. I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but, you know, like the bottom of a woman's purse.
I've never seen the bottom of a woman's purse. I don't go near them. I hold them outside the dressing room of the department store.
Bingo.
But I do not open them.
I do not look inside. Here, honey, would you find me a pen? I'm not going in there.
You can repurpose other containers because I've got one in here that I can't then get my hand here. This is my first aid kit because I do keep a first aid kit in my bag too. Astute listeners might recognize it. It also could be a replacement geocache container if necessary.
Wait a minute. How could something that small be a first aid kit?
I know, but it's got, you know, aspirin, Band-Aids, little Neosporin wipes, just a few little things. Mm-hmm. Anything major, you're going to want to bring the medicine man with you on the cache. But
medicine man of Seattle.
Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Or Tacoma, if you're in Tacoma.
Okay.
That's a different one. It's not like you're going to break a finger on a trail or something.
It's been known to happen.
Yeah.
I do not have a very well stocked first aid kit at the moment. I have a very well stocked first aid kit in my Amazon cart, which I have not yet purchased.
Get injured while in your Amazon cart, you're set.
Should I get injured online, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But I practice online safety. Wait. I'm wanted one that had a few more items, a little bigger, and most of all, I wanted it to have a carabiner so I could just clip it to the outside of my bag and go. It's not something that I need to take with me on every hike, and I know that I shouldn't have just said that. It's something you should have with you on every hike.
Yeah.
How many times have we said, make sure you have the 10 essentials with you? But a larger first aid kit is not something I need to have on every hike. A few Band-Aids, a gauze pad, some tape, your wipes are good to have every time. But now I'm, Dora Moore says always take the first aid kit. You're right. But do you need to take the large first aid kit every time, everywhere? Okay.
Depends if you're caching with certain geocachers.
Like me.
I wasn't going to say that, but since you brought it up, I'll agree. anybody could need a first aid kit on the trail. You just never know. It's best to be prepared.
Dora Moore says, every time I've forgotten mine, I've needed it.
Of course. That's when it's just like the time I decided to leave my backpack behind. That's when I need something out of it. So. It is important to know where you're going, though, because, of course, on my little tool bag that I use all the time, I have an item clipped to the outside of it that really would not fly well with TSA. So
it's glinty. Is that a knife?
Yeah, it's a very cheap giveaway from some kid ahead somewhere, so that if I did have to surrender it somewhere, I really wouldn't worry too much about it, but it's good to keep around.
Gotcha. A good knife is something that is very handy, not just, for first aid kits, but it's handy to have with you. It's a useful tool. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about the bags. Mine, is not a name brand bag. It's nothing like Landmonkey's, OGO flight vest.
That's a pretty nice vest.
He's had that thing for how many years? Are we talking 5, 6, 7 years now? He had it when he first started caching. It was originally a snowmobile vest, yeah, I believe.
I think it was.
And it also has a hydration feature. He doesn't always carry the hydration packs, but it has lots of pockets and stuff. So, yeah, that OGO flight vest is something that I've eyed and go, ooh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
And you toss it on, the weight transfers well, it's not just on your back or, a good backpack is going to have, obviously the straps, but a waist strap to help, shift the load or carry the load better.
That does make a huge difference. And I have used that on a long hike, but whenever I need something, it's on my back and I have to take the pack off to really access things well. And the nice thing about Landmonkey's vest is he can get to stuff very quickly while he's still wearing the vest.
Alpine's GC, who shared the glow this evening, thank you very much, is also in the chat. And wonderful. They said hunting groups also carry or are also packing AEDs these days.
Ooh. And as Ziham comments, that's hardcore.
Yeah, and high voltage.
Yeah.
You can use it to start your car, if nothing else. Once. So, Wit's End, what do you do about food, water? Do you carry those supplies when you go hiking as well?
I use my hydration pack, as we mentioned. Mm-hmm. I try to always keep a couple of, Clif bars, protein bars, something in my pack almost every day, because sometimes I wind up working somewhere and And I forget to eat to pack lunch. I forget to eat lunch. And sometimes I just really need to eat something. But I will supplement that if we're going to go on a long hike or in someplace I know I'm going to be away from stuff. Throw some trail mix in, throw some granola bars, something typically that's not perishable.
Right.
So
that, yes, that you can carry for long times. You know, if you're going out hiking for the day, a sandwich is fine. But I was just thinking, in your hydration pack, what if you put in a sparkling water, something with carbonation? Wouldn't that not only give you something to drink, but pressurize the release of the liquid?
I suppose it might. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it. I, as a general rule, don't put anything in my hydration pack but water.
Right.
Other things tend to spoil and just leave a nasty, smelly mess. Although one of the features of the Geiger rig is that the hydration bladder can be turned completely inside out and thrown in the top shelf of your dishwasher and run through there to sanitize it. It's pretty nice.
One of the first times I had the hydration pack was when I took the kids to Disneyland. And we filled it up with water from the hotel, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't want to drink it. We were thirsty, and it was like, can we have anything else but the water in the pack? So the next day, I went ahead and got lemonade mix, you know, that's like one packet for the 16-ounce bottle, and put it in the whole 2-liter thing, just enough to give it some flavor to overthrow the whatever they put in the water down there.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. You can get inline charcoal taste filters to put with your hydration pack. There's lots of accessories for that.
And that brings up a good point. Something like a Life Straw, some sort of water filtration, is really good.
I've eyed one of those for a long, long time and haven't ever come up with it.
You know, I'm a big fan of the Life Straw product, because when you buy one, they give one to somebody who needs it, say in Africa, you know. You know, if you're out on a hike and you're out of water, you can stick this Life Straw into any water source and suck through, and you get clean water. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So that's a bit more specialized than, you know, what you would normally carry, but water filtration's never a bad idea.
Yeah.
Do you carry any specialized gear with you when you go out?
Well, I tried not to go geocaching without, well, another geocacher that can find things better than I do. That's pretty specialized, which is just about anybody. But one thing that I carry in my pack on a daily basis is radio. Radios are great. Cell phones are great, but sometimes you're out hiking where there's no cell coverage, and radios work just about anywhere. You can go to the hardware store, to the Home Depots, the Targets, and get just the little family radios. Those work okay if somebody else is nearby and happens to be on the same channel, and that's always the case. A few of us, some in the chat and some of us here, are licensed ham radio operators, so you can carry a ham walkie-talkie, a handy talkie. If you're not familiar with ham radio, you might think, well, don't you have to have a huge garage or shack full of equipment? No, you can get, this is a little tiny, it's a UV3R model, Baofeng.
That is tiny.
It's tiny. It doesn't have a huge range. It's only a couple watts, but it's good enough to get out. And odds are more likely that there'll be somebody listening on a ham band than an FRS band. And although it's not technically legal, you can tune this little ham walkie-talkie to the FRS channels.
Oh, interesting. Now, I know ham operators are a bit like geocachers. They tend to be nice people. So if you're out there and say you've broken a leg and you need medical assistance, you get on the ham radio, you can have them called in for you.
There's been many stories of that. In fact, there's stories nearly every month of a story that somebody had an accident either in a car on a remote road or hiking or whatever, and was able to get out on the ham radio, find somebody, heard the transmission, they were near a landline, they relayed information. And yeah, it's a great hobby. It's a great group of people. I've met nearly everybody I've met in ham radio I liked.
Nice. Maybe
nearly everybody.
I'm not in ham radio, so you don't have to like me.
No, it's good. I really recommend it. I got interested in it years and years ago, and it was one of those things that was on my bucket list for someday. And finally did got involved a few years ago, and it's amazing the depth of the hobby. But that's a topic for a whole nother discussion, a whole nother day. We can go down that rabbit hole for days.
Now, we've asked for your feedback, your advice on what you carry when you go out. And there was one up here, Start Casher, says, normal pack is a waste bag with GPSR, two pens, latex gloves, extra log bags.
Extra loot.
Extra loot bags.
You might need a loot or, yeah.
Napkins, alcohol spray. I'm thinking like brandy or rum. Band-aids, batteries, log roller, tweezers, letterbox stamp, mirror, nail clipper, tick key, and two quarters.
Oh, tick key, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have my keychain here in my pocket, but on my keys, I have two little things. He mentioned a tweezers.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little set of tweezers that live on my keychain every day. I'm amazed at how often I use them. I went to countycom.com and found them on there. And there's a quote on there. I don't know if it's accurate or not. Supposedly the quote is attributed to General Norman Schwarzkopf, who said, I never had a pair of tweezers worth a darn, and now I do, or something along those lines. But they really are a great little useful pair of tweezers. And I use them an awful lot to pull a log out of a bison tube, among other things. I also have an Inca pen, I-N-K-A pen, that folds up inside itself and clips to my keys. So I always have a ballpoint pen and a pair of tweezers. And that's just fantastic to have along.
I have to admit, I'm jealous of your everyday carry items. You know, there are times where you always have whatever I didn't think to bring along. You have it with you.
With the tweezers and a pen on my keychain. And I almost always have a Leatherman on my hip. Sometimes I don't, especially if I'm traveling by air, or going out for an evening that's a little dressier. I don't always take it, but nearly every day I have a Leatherman on my hip and a couple other tools on my keychain. And it's amazing what you can get done with just those tools.
Well, Iham agrees. He says Leatherman type tools are great to have in your bag.
Or on your hip.
Alpinese wants to know what the quarters are for. Start Casher.
It's to lay on the eyes of the dead person when you wait. Oh. No, that's different.
That's just wrong. Yeah. Three Hymns in a Rose says he has two backpacks, one for each shoulder. No, one small and one larger. The small one is always packed with the essentials and is in the trunk. Large acts as storage for stuff used less often, like machete and probably craft dinner.
Oh, yeah, you got to have craft dinner.
And that stays in the house. Ah, the quarters are emergency swag.
Mm.
You know, that was always useful when my kids would go out caching. Oh, I want this.
Yeah.
Oh, stink, I didn't. Here, we'll put some money in.
It's the universal swag.
The universal swag. Oh, I like that idea. That's another topic, but what do you think of international currency in the cache as swag?
Sure.
But that's another topic. Start Cacher, I like the idea of latex gloves. I don't think of that. That's not something I mean, we've got a big box of them over here, and I didn't think of putting them in the bag. I'm going to do that.
I was thinking the same thing. I have a box on my workbench for when I work on my car and do things around the garage here that there's going to be a couple pair going in my bag.
Yeah. And that's great, you know, if you find something illegal and you don't want to leave fingerprints on it.
I've got a pair of just work gloves that I clipped in my bag for work, but they wouldn't want to pick up some things with those, dispose of them again.
Latex gloves would be great for CETOs.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's things that I didn't necessarily want to touch and leave on a pair of work gloves that, you know, may linger there for a while. Bounce Bounce says I have a small metal detector I take in the fall. Helps find caches buried under all the leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. You know, as you wanted to get into ham radio, I've always wanted to get into metal detecting.
It's kind of intrigued me as well.
Yeah. And that's just one of the ones that I think, boy, I think I could really enjoy this. But it's a lot like geocaching, a lot like the radio fox hunts. So Stark Casher says he uses the latex gloves for poison ivy situations.
Very wise.
Yeah.
Also useful for nettles and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Dora Moore says, I have garden gloves in my bag at all times. I don't like reaching into dark places that may contain bugs or slugs.
Yeah, that's a good tip too.
Yeah.
I don't have a metal detector, but one thing that's in the trunk of my car, you could call it a Tupperware detector. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Tupperware detector?
You know, some good friends of ours, fans of the show, and we haven't seen Buddy and Kitsy Meow for a while, but we went caching with them late one night, and he comes walking down the trail carrying a putter, a golf club, or maybe it's a sandwich. I don't know. It's a golf club, small golf club of some kind. And we asked, what the heck is that for? He said, oh, this is Clubby. They named their golf club. They
named it.
Yeah. He said, we found Clubby on a geocaching trail once upon a time, picked it up and carried it along, and they use it as a hiking stick, but they use it a lot to poke into bushes and listen for that familiar thunk of Tupperware or ammo can or whatever. And throughout that evening, we found it to be so useful that I was jealous of Clubby. And then I had a birthday party, and for my birthday, they gifted me my very own Clubby. So I have a Clubby in the trunk of my car.
I was also gifted a Clubby. This one came from IHAM, and he texted me one day and said, are you a nine iron or sandwich kind of Clubby guy? Or nine, was it nine iron or wood? I can't recall. I was like, give me the nine iron.
Could also be used to start conversations on the trail. Why are you carrying a golf club?
Mm-hmm.
Could also be used for people to leave you alone. Think, stay away from the weird guy carrying the golf club. You just never know.
So yeah, definitely a golf club or a hiking stick, something of that. Now, if you're carrying a golf club, I was just thinking, we've got several caches on the outer skirts of golf courses here.
Mm.
You could walk and carry the golf club. That would be perfect camouflage. Nobody would think anything of it. So.
Yeah. Prelang says club sandwich.
Oh, with bacon.
Yeah.
IHAM says, we have a roll of raffle tickets in our caching bag for the events we host.
And there's one coming up, too.
Hmm. Doramore says, the metal detector would be good for finding a bison tube in cedar trees. Now, we're not going to tell Land Monkey that option, but Bounce Bounce says, I have used the metal detector have shoved the metal detector in bushes as well. So, interesting.
Yeah, and as pointed out there, he says, wet coaster. I have a walking stick in the trunk of my car. On rare occasions, I take it with me when I go caching. And I have to admit that there are many times I've been halfway down the trail and thought, gee, I sure could use this. Oh, that stick is, my golf club is back in the car.
Yeah.
So it works really well when you remember to bring it with you. It doesn't do you a lick of good in the trunk of the car when you're a mile down the trail.
Not when you're a mile down the trail, but I did look in a big cedar bush, but I parked right next to it, and I'm looking and go, man, I need some. Oh, wait, I got Clubby. And, you know, I could use that and you know, move away big branches or, you know, poke down there. I didn't find that cache, but I had a Clubby to stick in there.
There you go.
And Brian Lang says, we got to get some plastic bison tubes.
Yeah. Well, we're going down the rabbit trail of tools of the trade, it sounds like here.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep all these things organized?
Well, you keep them in the bag. Now, my problem is I don't always take the same car geocaching.
Yeah.
Right. So I have things in my truck, like a walking stick, but I don't always take my truck geocaching, especially if I have to drive a distance. My wife's car gets much better gas mileage, so I'll take that one. And then I'll get there and I'm like, oh, I really could use my hiking stick. It's in the other car.
Yeah.
Oops, I forgot to. So, you know, things like that. Yeah. So I should really have the hiking stick with the backpack, shouldn't I?
Sure.
We should have everything together in one big bundle. and transfer that from vehicle to vehicle.
Always ideal.
Mm-hmm.
The bug-out bag does you no good if it's in the car. Or just build two complete sets of stuff and leave one in each car.
Oh. You know, two first aid kits is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, we have a first aid kit in each car. Mm. But, yeah, I want one for the trail. Anyway, Bounce Bounce says, I also carry a lock picking kit. Again, I have one in one of the cars, but not both. And I don't put it in my backpack.
Huh. Take it to the airport.
Yeah. It's fine. It's a tool set. There's nothing wrong.
Take it to the courthouse next time you're on jury duty.
Hmm. You know, they're kind of picky about what you bring into the courthouse.
Yes, they are.
I walked into the courthouse one time and I can't remember why I was there. I can't remember. And I had my Leatherman on my hip and, you know, I forgot I had it there. I put all the other stuff on the tray, walked through the metal detector and goes, whoa, what is that? Oh, sorry. That's my Leatherman. Here, I'll go. Why do you have that? Are you working here? No, I'm sorry. I carry my Leatherman almost everywhere I go. I forgot I had it on my hip because it's always on my hip.
Yep.
And he couldn't understand why anybody would have that kind of, I'm sure he considered it a weapon more than a tool, but why would you have that? Are you a repairman? Well,
in a sense, yes.
So. Make sure Starcasher says, make sure you have the latex gloves along with the lock picking kit so you don't leave any fingerprints. Oh, guys, you're good. I appreciate each and every one of you. I hope you've enjoyed this show. I think we've had some really good tips about our bags, our gear, how to keep things organized. You know, and like I say, I don't do it often. About once a year, I'll dump out that entire bag, go through it and see, do I need this? Have I used it? Is it still good? You mm-hmm. know, like a battery, has it corroded just because, you know, it's been in there for a year and a half and it's gotten wet. You know, it's funny. I just pulled out my Discover Pass and realized it expires in April. Whoops. I better get that renewed.
That's right.
So
April's coming up.
Yeah. So it's a good idea to go through it, make sure your gear, I want to say is up to date, but not necessarily up to date, is complete with what you need. Do you have a survival blanket, you know, some sort of poncho, some sort of emergency shelter?
I have one of those in my bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So things like that, make sure you have, do you have a way to make fire? That could just be a little chunk of steel wool with a battery. That'll make a fire.
I have a fire starter in my bag, in my toolbox. Okay. What else?
I'm trying to think of the 10 essentials. I know insulation is there. So do you have another coat? Or do you have, you've got your emergency blanket, which would count as insulation, and it can count as shelter as well.
Yeah. I have my well-organized charging cables, thanks to my son and my Christmas present.
That's a lot of charging cable.
Well, it's charging and various other things. So down in the bottom here, I do have another coat, believe it or not. It's a little rain poncho that folds up into its own pouch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Another pair of gloves. And of course, this is what I was digging for. There's my Ziploc bags. I have my Jane hat because everybody needs a Jane hat. It's kind of cunning, don't you think?
You know, if a man's wearing a hat like that,
right?
You know, he's not afraid of anything. Wet Coaster has dehydrated water tablets. Just add water to reactivate them.
Very quick. Very good. Those are very handy to have along.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to be aware of the dihydrogen monoxide around.
Yeah,
it's everywhere. True.
I have a couple of their towels. They came from Delorme. And it was just one of the, you know, show giveaway kind of things. Mm-hmm. But they're the size of a big pill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Soak them in water and they come out to, I don't know, like a 4-inch square towel. That always amazes me. It's like, really? That works? Yeah.
It's good to have a towel in your car.
Alpine's GC says our Condor Sidekick pouch holds tweezers, tick key, flashlight, spare logs, baggies, two pencils, pencil sharpener. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Log roller, a bit of swag, and archiving party kit, patent pending. Mm. An archiving party kit.
I like it.
That might be worth a show there to find out what the archiving party kit is.
Tune in next week. We'll talk about archiving parties. No, we're not talking about the next week. What are we talking about next week?
Next week, we are talking about cache maintenance planning. So maybe that means taking those logs that you have in your backpack actually with you when you go out caching, mm-hmm. but it's a little bit more than that. Cache maintenance planning next week, April 12th, we're doing DNF. Now what? Mm. Mm. What do you do with those DNFs?
Avenge them. By Grabthaw's hammer, they shall be avenged. Well, that takes us on past tax day down in the U.S. here. Takes us to April 19th, episode 247, Managing Your Caching Stats. Not about the numbers, but sometimes it's fun to play with the numbers and just see what they look like. And episode, 248, scheduled right now to be Top Cache Tips for Tacoma. The Rainiers.
Nice touch there.
Tacoma's a city we're rather fond of, except when we have to pay taxes and things like that. But hey, it's something that, Chris of the Northwest and I call home.
You know, I don't mind paying taxes because I know what services we get from that, and that's all well and good, you know, but I'm not giving you any more money. Manage what you got. There. I'm done. Rant's over.
That's your 2 cents worth.
I pay more than that in taxes, let me tell you.
Okay.
But we want to thank our faithful Denali level supporters. That's Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, and World Caching. Again, if you want to know more about supporting the show, click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. And as we always do, we want to thank our patrons. This week, we have a new patron, Curiosity Girl.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard. And our faithful patrons, B-Pen Dragon, Brink, Bonk. I can't do it. I can't do it like Land Monkey.
We need Land Monkey. That's just all there is to it.
One breath. Here we go. B Pendragon, Broncos Fan for Life, Sprouter, Camp Clan, Tick Magnet, Kev MacD, Subway Mark, Dora Moore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acker Doc, OBX Geek, Billy Robson, G Nice, Antaeus, and Keats 94.
I think I had a couple of little breaths in there. I think you cheated.
I don't. If I did, I did it unconsciously.
I think Land Monkey's job is secure. Hmm. And until next week, when Land Monkey joins us again, one can only hope. Where would you like people to reach out and find you?
Hey, you know, you can find me on Twitter and Facebook. Just look for Caching NW. What about you, Witsend?
You know, we're geocachers, so just go to geocaching.com/CachingNW, because so far, geocaching.com hasn't had a huge data breach in the news. So message me there.
What are you trying to say?
Somebody else has.
Yeah. Not saying, just saying.
Hashtag delete something. Yeah. I won't even mention their name.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, I say thank you to you, Witsend, but I say thank you to everyone else. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. You can call 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, ask us a question, or offer to carry our pack any time of the day or night. Of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Your support helps keep the quality shows coming. If you like the show, please click on the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more. This show is produced by Chris Umfenauer and Jay Kennedy, hosted by Chris Jay and Jim Paulwitz. The show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2018 by Chris Umfenauer. And as we do every week, we invite you to stay tuned for the after show. Folks, if you're new to caching in the Northwest, this is what we call the after show. It is a time of less structure, a little more fun. We open it up to question and answers, and who knows what kind of questions we're going to get. If you're pressed for time, it's okay. Go ahead and listen to the next episode of Caching in the Northwest. You can come back and listen to an after show later if you want to.
Yeah, it is a time of rebellion, or no.
Something like that.
How did it go? The research department will know.
IHAM says, come on, everyone knows it is about the numbers, except when it's convenient for it not to be.
I suppose.
Yeah. White Coaster says, you should record Land Monkey doing the list and replay it when he's not here.
Ooh. It is a period of civil war. That's what it is.
Wits End, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Well, that's probably good.
Oh, there you go.
Mostly because I'm reading things online and mumbling to myself under my breath.
So you weren't actually communicating with me. You were just mumbling to yourself.
What?
Okay, I got that. IHAM wants to know if I have new studio lighting. Well, I am trying a couple of things. Yeah. I've got some LED light strips that I put up, and, you know, it's a little dark back there. I don't know if I'm happy with it.
It's the same old, same old here.
The light up that was right up here shining back there, because it also colored me and it wasn't flagged properly. So I put one up over here and it was just way too bright. So that didn't work like I wanted it to. So I'm not done with that yet.
Also appreciate the update from B Pendragon that the Mariners did win the home opener.
Yes, go Mariners.
That's right. They're undefeated this year.
Yay. They were undefeated before they played today.
Technically, I suppose.
Yeah. Yes, my video feed is a bit grainy tonight. I had a little power surge here in the studio. It might have been a power surge. It might have been a failing power supply on my podcasting rig. Be that as it may, my normal computer is down. A couple of audio interfaces are gone, and I think it may have damaged my video camera. It was working very clear earlier on, and longer I'm using it, I'm noticing more and more fuzziness or dots.
Hmm.
So let's see. If I switch to the laptop camera.
Oh, that's worse.
Supposed to click. Is it worse?
Well, the colors, it's more, it's not nearly as dynamic range. It almost looks posterized.
Hmm. Interesting.
Almost.
Still can't see. There it is. I can't see where I'm supposed to click.
I don't know, but it's entertaining watching you bop around and click on things.
Bop, bop, or ran.
I'm boring. I haven't changed anything, so.
Have a power surge and fry all your USB equipment attached to your computer. It makes things very interesting.
I think I'll pass. Thanks.
So, Team Finn has a FATAS update. My English teacher still hasn't graded my essay. I have English 6th period, and she hasn't finished grading 1st periods yet. Really?
You know, I've known a lot of teachers, and I don't know how they grade all the papers that they do.
I mean, especially essays. What do you think? Yeah. Is it a good look on me?
Oh.
Oh, there it goes. I wanted to show our faithful listeners. See, I do have a new audio interface. And it works great until I start a Hangouts on Air. And then it goes all wonky and terrible. So I purchased a new audio interface, but I'm not happy with it. So I'm back to my first audio interface, which I kept. I almost threw it away because it was causing some problems. That's why I went and got a new one, and I loved it. Worked great until, you know, it didn't. Till it left a scorch mark the size of a 50-cent piece on the inside of it. So the new audio interface works great until you use it. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. It works fine. All the audio passes through it. As soon as I start to hang out on air, it goes and that volume, it's some sort of feedback loop because it just keeps getting louder and louder. And it's like, okay, lose the headphones. I can't take this anymore. He's bopping around and the music isn't even playing. Oh, it is. In my head.
In his head, yeah.
Well, folks, I think we had a good evening. I enjoy keeping caching gear organized with you folks. I hope you've had fun too. Hey, join us next week. And until that time, get out and get caching in the Northwest.